to the book of Matthew. We are starting a new series today called Falling in Love with Christ. And yes, there's going to be, as you can imagine, Pastor Ace is going to bring a message on falling in love, not only with Christ, but falling in love with your companion and falling in love with your children and falling in love with your community and falling in love with your church. You know how I love alliteration. So it'll come. But today we're going to talk about how to fall in love with Christ. You think, well, I already do. Well, that's good. But, you know, it's interesting the way God does it. Look at Matthew 22, just for context sake. Now, everybody needs a Bible. Listen, don't take my word for anything. Look it up in the Bible so you know you're right. You're reading the right stuff, okay? Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And you want the 22nd chapter and verse number 37 and verse 38. Now, we see if you have that Bible that's got the words in red, this was actually spoken by Jesus. And he's being asked, what is the greatest commandment? In verse 36, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Look at verse 37. Well, let's all read verse 37 and 38 together. Here we go. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Do you see that? The first and great commandment is to love the Lord. Now, man-made religion would have you say, well, don't you love God? Well, if you love God, well, then you would do this and you would do that. And it's more of a guilt and coercion kind of an approach. But that's not how God does things. God doesn't do guilt. Now, God will do conviction when we step out of bounds and we sin. He'll do conviction, but he doesn't do guilt. You must understand. You must understand what God wants is when we realize how much he loves us, how undeserving we are of his love, our hearts can only respond back to him with, and I love you too. You know, when somebody loves you with that kind of depth, but you know, to be honest with you, it doesn't come naturally. There's nothing about us that are in our flesh that makes us want to think about God or makes us want to do things. No, thinking about ourselves come naturally. Did you know that? That's right. That's right. How long did it take you to sit your kid down and train them how to be selfish? Huh? Or if you don't have kids, how long did it take for your parents to sit you down and train you to be selfish? Huh? Ask your spouse. They'll fix that for you. But the truth is, we're all selfish. Self-interest governs all naturally. Naturally, that's how we are. We want what's best for us, and I love that Jay Wentworth commercial, not that I'm all for Jay Wentworth, but it's my money, and I want it now. And that's just kind of, you know, the Bible says that babies come forth from womb speaking lies. Oh, not your baby. No, only the pastor's kids. No, the truth is they got little sin natures. You know what I'm saying, right? Right, Brother Jim? You feed them, you burp them, they're dry, they're not tired, and they still cry. Right? How many of you have ever let your kid throw a fit and you just keep walking? You just kind of let them have their own fit in their own room. Amen, that's right. God will let you throw your little fit, right? But the truth is, nobody had to teach us to be selfish or self-centered or self-focused. Why is that? Because we live in a sinful body of flesh. Me, I'm a sinner, okay? I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve anything but to go to hell. But Jesus loved me. Remember, I preached 2 weeks ago on John 3:16. The reason we have everlasting life offered to us as a free gift is because God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. You know, Romans 5:8, but God commended or displayed or conferred, commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, there's always a battle between our physical flesh and the Spirit of God. Always a battle. That's why when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, this body has to be changed because this body is not suitable for eternity. It's not suitable to exist in a place with no sin, a place that's perfect in holiness because it's sinful. That's why God has to change it. And the Bible says that the carnal mind, if you're taking notes, you can jump with me. Romans chapter 8, you're in Matthew, go Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans 8. Look at this now. It's just natural that we don't come pre-wired from our parents to have a heart for God. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 and verse 6. For the carnal mind, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Why is it like that? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It won't. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's another verse of scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:12 that says the natural man, that's the lost person, the person who doesn't know Christ, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. He can't even know them. Why? Because our flesh wants not. Have you ever tried to read your Bible, but you fall asleep or your mind wanders? You ever fall asleep praying? One time I thought I'd get real spiritual. I thought, man, I am going to get a hold of heaven. So I got down on my face, head on the carpet, and prayed. I woke up with all this fluff in my mouth because we didn't vacuum that morning. And anyhow, you do your best, right, to be spiritual. But your body doesn't want anything to do with it because we're sinful sinners. That's what we are. And that's why Christ came. That's why God sent his son. God came seeking us. And listen, us Christians, you know, we can still be self-centered and selfish as Christians. Maybe you've gotten your life pushed around to where you're not doing the big overt sins anymore, but the ones on the inside are still there. Selfishness, self-centeredness, bitterness, anger, wrath, malice. They're still there. You hide them, right? They're still there. You know, I get the privilege to help folks and be a blessing to them, and I love it. And people say to me, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but is there something messed up when you say you believe in God, but you love God, but you don't like his book? You know, there's something messed up when you say you love God, but you don't like his house. You don't want to come to his house. Right? You don't want to come over. I saw a billboard. Remember the billboards from the early 2000s that said, hey, why don't you come over to the house this Sunday and bring the kids, God. You ever seen those? No, man. So they come up on YouTube. They're really cool. This group put out these really cool billboards. But people say, well, I love God, but I don't like his book, and I don't like his church, or I don't want to go to his house, and I love God, but I don't like some of his kids. Now that hit home, didn't it? We had this family in Arkansas, and they're sweet folks, and we loved them. And they'd say, well, I just love your kids, except, and then they named one. What am I supposed to do with that? Well, I learned a phrase in the South, and it's, well, bless your heart. That is the default answer to anything foolish. Well, bless your heart. But how do you think you feel? How do you think God feels when you say, well, I love the Father, but some of his kids I could do without? See, having a heart that is after God, a heart that's in love with God, isn't natural. It's something that we do on purpose. See, it begins when we first open our heart to God. And as I said, in 1 John 4:19, it says, we loved him because, why? Because he first loved us. When we realize how much he loves us, that is the response. That's why usually grandmas, meemaws, and papaws can get away with a lot. Did you know that? They really can. They can be imperfect but seen as perfect. Why? Because meemaws and papaws love kids unconditionally a lot of times. They even like them when they're stinkers, and because it's fun to watch them go home, I'm sure. I'm waiting to get my own. Wait, huh? But the truth is, when we realize how much we're loved, our heart naturally wants to love God back. We love him because he first loved us. That's 1 John 4:19. But it starts when we respond to God in salvation. When we realize we're a sinner, that we don't deserve to go to heaven. In fact, if we got what we deserve, we'd go to hell. But God sent his son. He loved us. So when we realize that I'm a sinner and I'm hellbound and I turn and I admit it, you know, I take the witness stand and say, yes, God, you're right. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I believe your son died for me. His blood covers my sin. At that moment, remember the moment that happened to you? Where were you when that happened? You know, it's a spirit. God uses earthly pictures to explain heavenly principles. Did you know that? So he uses human childbirth to explain salvation. It's not something you earn. You cannot earn your way into heaven. Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Him not giving me what I deserve. That's what that is. Or Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace. It's me getting something I couldn't earn. Am I saved through faith? And that not of yourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift. Okay, so where were you when you were spiritually born again? Where were you? Well, when was that? Mine is coming up. Today is October 2nd, isn't it? Today's, did I lose time? Was I abducted by aliens? It's the 3rd. This coming Saturday is my spiritual birthday. It was October 9th, 1990 at 9 o'clock. And some of you can actually quote my story. I've told so many times. But it's my spiritual birthday. When is this, 2021? So I've been saved 31 years this Saturday. Isn't that awesome? Is my math right? Yeah. Okay. 31 years. Where were you? Do you remember how it felt? When you felt that weight come off and you felt the warmth of God, we sang that song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. Now, I didn't cry or have a glory fit. That came later. But the truth is, I remember where I was. I remember giving my heart to Christ. I remember opening up and saying, you're right, I'm wrong. But you know, life happens. Now, some of you in here are too young to remember, but there was a time in America when cars did not have that center console. Right? Do you remember that? Deke, you know what I'm talking about. Right? It was called a bench seat. Right? You didn't have a console. The cars didn't come with cup holders. Okay? And Ms. Mix used to sit right next to me. I had a Buick Regal. Two-door, man, it was a monster go-getter. And she sat right there next to me, curled up under my arm. Praise the Lord. Huh? What happened? We upgraded to cars with bucket seats. That's what happened. See, this older couple was driving along down the road, and they see this young couple all snuggled up together, and the wife says to the husband, how come we don't drive like that? He looks over at her and goes, I haven't moved. I wonder sometimes, does it feel like things have gotten a little cold between you and the Lord? Amen. Come on now, right? Talk to me now, right?
Amen.
Now think about it. Who's the one that moved? Right? I saw a meme this week that says, Jesus don't need to take the wheel. Jesus need to pull over and beat you with his flip-flop. That's what... when you think about it, he's already got the wheel. So, is it a time in your life right now where things have gotten a little stale? And you need to reignite. Yesterday we were at the Belvedere Plantation. We had a cookout there down in Fredericksburg. The church, a bunch of y'all went, and we had a fire in a fire pit. It was awesome. But every now and again, one of those logs would roll off. Now, while it was in the pile, and it was burning brightly, and the embers were glowing, and it was producing heat, but then after a while, the center of gravity changes, and it rolls, and it goes over by the edge, and slowly turns dark. Nothing's, there's no smoke, there's no flame, there's no heat. Still in the fire pit, but it's not on fire anymore. I want you to reconnect today with the Lord. That's my goal. I want you to reconnect with the love of God and let it reignite your passion for His. See, one of the proofs that God exists is what I call a God-shaped hole in the soul. Every human being has a soul. Every human being is a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. And inside every human being, no matter when they lived or where they lived, they have a God-shaped hole. They have a desire to worship something. Even the atheist wants to worship themselves or worship power. But they all worship something. And that is a proof that God exists, okay? That's one of the natural proofs of it, okay? So what is it that you have been filling that hole with? Before I knew the Lord as my Savior, I tried to fill it with entertainment. I tried to fill it. I mean, our kids do it. Our kids want to fill that hole with entertainment and with friendships and the self-esteem and the esteem boost they get from other people. And what do you fill that hole with? Do you let God fill the entire thing, or is he kind of just relegated to a corner? It's time to reignite because, see, there was a time in Bible history, 2 Chronicles 7 comes to mind, when God filled buildings. Remember when the temple was built? Or even the tabernacle. Brother Jim is studying through in Sunday school right here. One of the five adult classes is right here in the auditorium. They're studying Exodus. And when they built the tabernacle, the Shekinah glory came down and filled the tabernacle. When Solomon did it in 2 Chronicles 7, it filled the temple. The singers and the Levites couldn't stand there anymore. It was palatable. You could feel the glory of God, and it pushed them out of the building. And God don't do that anymore. God fills his people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You bring the Holy Spirit with you to church. The question is, does the Holy Spirit got all of you? You got all of him, but does he have all of you? You know, some of you have been gracious and invited Miss Mix and I over for coffee. And I got to see the front foyer, right? And part of the living room. Maybe even a peek at the kitchen, because it's an open concept. But beyond that, you don't want me to see what's down the hall on the left where the teenagers are at. You don't want me to see where the other little bear cubs live and forage and leave there, right? Right? You don't. I don't. There's a room in my house you're not allowed in because I don't have to revive you after the smell hits you. Okay? I have teenagers. Okay? And just like that illustration, we let God in the door on the day we got saved. And over time, if we don't continue to surrender ourselves, he gets relegated to smaller and smaller pieces. We're still saved. We're still going to heaven, no? But God ain't got all of us. And today I want to encourage you to give it all to God. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 84. One of the great things, I had one of our members is in the hospital right now. His name's Brother Chris Bowen. You pray for him. He's coming out of he came out of surgery and things went well, but he had asked me about this, and I'd said, you know, being in God, the desire to be in God's presence is something that David wanted so much. He has such a powerful thing on. How do I reignite my walk with God? Well, go to the Psalms. That's what I told Brother Chris. He was saying, how do we do that? Go to the Psalms. He's such a good man, and he's praying for us right now, I'm sure, as he's watching online. So I'm bragging on you. Go to the Psalms. It'll reignite your soul. Listen to what Psalm 84 says. It says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Does that always define or describe your relationship with God? See, in verse 1, the word amiable means like being at your best friend's house. See, my best friend was Joe Marchando. He and I met at the age of 4. Went to kindergarten together, went all the way through high school. And brother, and it got to the place where if he was at my house, he could just get up and walk and go get something out of the fridge. And if I was at his house, I could get up and just go get something out of the fridge. We're family. We're friends. And whenever we'd meet up, guys are like this. Whenever we apart for a few years, we'd still get back together. It was just like being home, you know. And some of you folks in the military know what I'm talking about. When you go back to a place to where you're from and you run into some people that you really actually like to be with, it feels good, doesn't it? You can put your feet under their table. I remember Ms. Mix and I came home from college. We'd been there a half a semester, and we got home and put our feet under Mama's table at Thanksgiving. And, man, it just felt awesome. And that's what David is trying to describe to you. He loved being at the tabernacle. Look what he says, how amiable, like being at my best friend's house, are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. You know God loves you. You know, we love our kids, but we don't always like our kids, right? I want to ask you, you know the Lord loves you. I'll let you finish that, okay? How amiable, right? Then look at verse number 2, my soul longeth. Oh, how I want to see God. Yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Look at verse number 3. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house and a swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Whenever it says Selah, that means pause and think. Pause and think. He said, oh, how I envy the sparrow. The sparrows who build their nest in and around Shiloh, that high place where God's tabernacle was. How they would build their nests and they would be undisturbed and they could leave their young in the nest and not worry. They were in the courts of God's tabernacle. He said, oh, how I envy them. That's the kind of walk and relationship we're to have with God. Verse 2 talks about an intense desire. My soul longeth, even fainteth. I think if David's chest was a cannon, he'd have shot his heart out at God. When was the last time you and I said, I want to know him. I want to know God. I'm not going to stop praying until I feel his presence. I'm not going to stop reading till he speaks to me. I'm not going to stop witnessing until I lead someone to Christ. I'm going to know his power and his filling. That's what it says. Paul said in Philippians, he says, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. What intensity. Now, Paul, the apostle, liked to use sporting illustrations. Sometimes it was boxing. Sometimes it was running. But I think of the Olympics. The Olympics was around at the time of Paul. And it was at, imagine though, some of you here know what I'm talking about. You get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, whether you want to or not. You're on a special diet. You're on a specific workout regimen. And everything else is lower priority because our motivation is the gold. Our motivation, everything, it consumes the idea of being. That's how David wanted his relationship to be. Remember the song, Come Thou Fount, out of our hymn book? Goes, Come Thou Fount of every blessing. You know that? The last verse says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's us. We wander. Stuff catches our attention, and God becomes lower and lower priority. And, you know, we see this when we were young and we were dating. Man, we would put our best foot out there, and we'd keep it out there for a long time until we get married, and then things would change. And I think our fellowship with God does that. In Psalm 57, David said, my heart is fixed on thee. See, before GPS, children, before compasses, they used the North Star. The one star that was always the fixed point in the heaven and never moved. And all of the ships and planes could always find home if they could find the North Star. And David was saying, my heart is fixed on thee. You are my North Star. But you know, last night we were at that campfire and a log would roll off and grow cold and we'd just kick it back up on the fire and it would ignite again. And it would glow and it would shine. We'd call that personal revival. We all love eternal life. I mean, I'm excited. You realize this is as close to hell as you'll get. Right? No matter how bad. My dad used to say, no matter how bad it gets, they can kill you, but they can't eat you. You know, it's just, this is it. This is as bad as it gets. We all love eternal life, but none of us like daily death. It's dying to self. It's daily rolling ourselves back up on the fire and being in God's presence. You see, now, as I said, your body, soul, and spirit. So, in your soul resides your spirit, and inside your spirit is where the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence. And when we are being selfish and self-centered and not paying attention to God, we are like quenching the Spirit. We're choking him off, you know, we're grieving him. The reason we sing is so that our spirit will open up and the Holy Spirit of God can freely move and speak. Music is not, it's not traditional. The whole book of Psalms, it's Jewish singing. It's not the way we used to do it. They rhyme in thought where we rhyme in the sounds of words. But it was the same idea. The first step, number one, if you're not born again, you need to be born again. The first step is giving your heart to Christ. That's the first step, repenting of your sin, turning and believing that Christ died and rose again for you, that his blood paid for your sin, to call upon him and to be saved. That's number one. Number two, reignite by first presenting yourself to the Lord. You know, sometimes when I'm having struggles with my mind wandering, I'll stop and I'll sing. I'll sing a hymn. I'll sing a spiritual song. I'll sing with the radio. I'll sing. And it's like your spirit opens up. What kind of music are you listening to? I mean, is it the kind that points you to God and inspires your soul and focuses on his holiness and love for him? Or is it the kind that makes you wonder what your spouse is doing when they're not around? Now, you think I'm being crazy, but it's a powerful language. It was given to us by God as a tool for us to be prepared to hear his word. Well, how are we using it? Number one, you give your heart to Christ. Number two, you're going to have to get up every day and do it and just say, today, God, I want more of you. You got to roll back up on the fire. See, the Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. That means divinity is responding to humanity's choice. So when humanity, that's me, when I call out to God in the morning and say, God, I'm yours today. Oh, God, please be with me today. Let me draw close to you today. It all starts. Now, if you're like me and you have your times when things get a little cold, the first step for you, and you're already saved, is still repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I've been letting other things take precedent. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That was written to save people, not lost people. Because we still, every morning, we need to confess known sin and we need to give ourselves to the Lord. So let me ask you a question. Where did God rate this week in your to-do list? Where did God rate in your priorities? If you'll get out your phone and look at your calendar app and your bank app, you'll see where you spent the most time and resources this week. So where did God rate? You know, a lot of times marriages fall apart because we stop desiring to be that close, that connected, that intense in our relationships. Amen. And they fail. Thank God, God never throws you away. God don't throw away broken things, right? But it can grow cold. I want you to reignite today. Number one, you repent and go, God, it's me again. You know, I've kind of let things go and I shouldn't have. Number two, God, I need to give you access to my heart. I need you to have access. I'm opening myself to you today. I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to give myself to you again. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You need to ask God for help. Now, you are the one that controls your daily routine. You set the alarm on your phone. I used to say alarm clock. We don't have alarm clocks anymore. We don't even have landlines anymore. We just have a cell phone. Everything's through the cell phone. So you set the alarm, don't you? You're the one who sets it, right? So you're the one who controls your daily routine, all right? So you need to be the one who rolls yourself back up on there and goes, I want more of God today. I do. I love them that love me and those that seek me. He's waiting for me. God's door's open. God's never busy. He's like, come on. Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You need to renew your passion for him. You know, Christianity is not a checklist. It's not a check-the-box kind of thing. Christianity is you intentionally. Look, you're not earning anything. But everything God has is offered to you. Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Lest you abide in me, you can do nothing. Everything the vine has is offered to the branch. And the vine has chosen to limit itself in fruit bearing to the branch. See, the fruit happens on the branch, not the vine. But everything the vine has is being offered to the branch fully. When we cut ourselves off, when we pick other things, when we decide I haven't got time for this God thing, everything God is offering doesn't make it, and the fruit never comes. Well, preacher, you know, ask him to move in your life. Pray for your areas of need. Ask God what he wants you to praise him for. You know, there's so many things that go on in our life that God did for us that we didn't even recognize. If you struggle with depression and discouragement, take out a notepad and write everything God's ever done for you. Then pray and say, God, what are some things I haven't noticed that I ought to praise you for? And then shut up and start writing. And he'll list them for you. Man, it's hard to be discouraged when somebody loves you like that. Somebody meets your needs like that. Ask God who you ought to forgive. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. You know, it becomes bitterness. It's like drinking poison, hoping they'll get sick. You know, it doesn't work that way. You've got to forgive. Ask God who He wants you to forgive. Ask God for faith to believe Him for more. Why is it people have blessings and I don't have blessings? Why is it that God seems to come through for these people and they don't seem to come through for me? Well, in James chapter 4 and verse 2, it says you have not because you ask not. Have you been asking for those things? Have you been asking? Now remember, the best you can do in and of your flesh is junk. Isaiah 64, 6, the best love, the best righteousness, all of that is filthy rags, Isaiah 64, 6. You know, it's fair for you to go to God and say, God, you're going to have to give me some faith. You're going to have to help me here. God, I want to believe you for more. Show me what you can do. God, I want to love my wife like you love my wife. Can you give me some of that love so I can love her with your love? Huh? God, I know I'm supposed to forgive that person. And you know what they did. But God, by faith, you're going to have to give me some forgiveness so I can forgive them with your forgiveness. Because your forgiveness means I get to let go of the debt. And I trust you to right whatever wrongs. You know, God will actually take the pain away. He won't take the memory, but He'll take the pain. And He'll use that pain for your good. How long has it been since you burned brightly for the Lord? How long has it been since you felt the warmth, since God, where you could see God moving in your life? You know, our gratitude must equal His goodness. Or we're just selfish children. And that's all we are. Now, David's heart was after God. And he had that passion and intensity, and he was asking for it. And in verse number 5 and 6, you find him being able to follow God through the dark valleys because of it. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passeth through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools. You understand, Baca was that dry place, the place where nothing grows. And sometimes we allow ourselves to get in that place in our life where nothing is growing. Remember in Psalm 23 last week where he talked about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. I'm not alone. In verse number 7, I find our strength runs out because we don't stay in his presence. Look at this. They go from strength to strength. That means I have to be re-strengthened. Look at this. From strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Now, what's crazy is you can't set conditions on God. You can't set conditions. Do you know what a condition is? All right, God, I'll do this if you'll do that now, okay? Or I'll do this, but don't there's a line, Lord, okay? You cross that line and all bets are off. Setting conditions. Jesus said, you're going to have trouble. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. David's attitude was, as long as I'm with you. Look at the last, or verse 10. Look at this. Verse 10 of Psalm 84. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. A doorkeeper was the lowest of the lowest of the lowest guy in the totem pole. He was the junior guy straight out of boot camp who got all the junk jobs. That was the guy who took care of the door, okay? Then to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You can't say to God, well, if everything goes okay with my kids, well, then I'll serve you. Well, God, you know, if everything goes all right with my career, well, then I'm yours. God, if everything goes okay with my marriage, then you and me are square, okay? Something's happened at Walmart recently. Have you noticed that they've remodeled them? Have you noticed that? There used to be this entire wall of missing children. Have they all been found? Have no more been stolen or taken or run off out of foolishness? Something's changed. I wonder if God looks down from heaven and wonders where his children are sometimes. AWOL Christians. Christians who've bowed out for a while. They didn't check in with God. They didn't let God know they were going to be taking a vacation from him. You know, how would you do that if you just didn't show up Monday? Oh, I was taking a personal day. What would they say after a couple of times of that mess? But we do that on God. We check out. We're like, he'll be here when we get back. He'll be here. He'll be here. He'll be here. And it's not that you can't ever take trips, but I'm talking spiritually speaking. When where we can go days, weeks, never read our Bible, and think it'll be all right. I'll crack it at Sunday school, and me and God will be tight. No, that ain't how it works. How would it be if you only spoke to your spouse once every other month? Would it still work? Brothers and sisters, it's time to reignite ourselves. It's time to roll back onto the fire. God's always been there. Starts with repentance. Even for Christians, to call out and say, God, it's me. I've let it get cold. I've let it grow dark. I've just let it grow cold, and I'm sorry. Nobody loves me like you do. And today I give myself to you. Personal revival. First, you got to be born again. Number two, if you're born again, confess all known sin. Whatever sin is in your life, God already knows about it. Ain't like you're hiding it. Go and tell him. Go and tell him. Take the witness stand and go, God, you're right. I plead guilty. You're right. I plead the blood of Christ. Number three, I give myself to you today. I'm giving myself to you today the best way I know how. God, speak. God, use me. God, it's a dangerous game to wander from God. It's not that God sits in heaven and strikes you. It's the fact that God's hand of protection just comes off and the world gets you. The world we think is so shiny and so helpful and so fun and so loving steals our youth, our health, our money, and spits us back out again. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's not be missing from our Lord. Repent. Ask God for help. Ask God. Sing songs that open your spirit. Read his word and beg him for more of him. Our Father and our God, we need you. God, our hearts stray. The shiny things of the world, the entertainment, the sometimes just the hustle and bustle and stress of life causes our heart to change its priorities when it comes to you, Lord. We ask, God, that you would help us today. As your people, we repent. Forgive us of our sin. If there's one among us today that's not born again, that doesn't know you as Savior, we ask, God, you would make yourself real to them and convict them of their sin and their need of a Savior. But for us, your children, God, we beg you. We draw nigh to you right now. We draw close. And in the next few moments, as my brothers and sisters pray, I know you're listening. Answer their prayer, oh God. Give us more of you and less of ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. As Mrs. Mix plays and sings, the altar's open. If you want to come and pray, I'm here. Or you can pray where you are. Or I'll come to you. Let's talk to the Lord.
Clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me.
It's time to fall in love again with your Savior.
And renew a right spirit within me.
That song talks about restore to me the joy of my salvation. When you relive it, when you go back through and you think about it, you think about all the things God does for you. It stirs up the joy. Joy's an inside job, not an outside.
Within me, create in me a clean heart.
Let that be your prayer.
And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord.
Amen.
And take not Amen. Thy Holy Spirit
That's
from
right.
me.
Yes.
Restore
That's right.
unto me
Amen.
The joy
Amen.
Of thy salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Our Father and our God, we love you. And Father, you're always there. Maybe that's why, Father, we take it for granted. But God, today, afresh and anew, we give ourselves to you. You love us in a way that we can't even fathom, with a love that's beyond comprehension. And God, we love you back, and we say we're yours. And today, God, we're going to need your help to live that. And tomorrow, we're going to need your help to live that. And the day after, and the day after. And God, we ask for it now. As we start today, as we give ourselves, just like a log on a fire, we ask God, let us burn brightly for you in our passion, in our intensity, and in our relationship with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.